to change, to add a new model to the mix in the taxi cab industry. Right now, the dominant model, the market forces are fundamentally at odds with the goals of Chapter 1640. To protect these values, you have to push back against the market forces with regulation. Union Cab proposes to align the market forces with the goals of the code. It is so much more effective, it is so much more efficient, and it is in line with the Portland spirit of do-it-yourself, entrepreneurship, and a fundamental belief in dignity and opportunity for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Hello, my name is Fayina Hussein, and I'm Kadir's oldest daughter. As long as I can remember, my father has driven a taxi. It has almost, it's almost a part of his identity. When I was younger, I used to dream about going to Disneyland and seeing all the princesses and cartoons like any five-year-old. And my dad would tell me, when he saves up enough money, we'll go in a few years. So every year I would look at him with my hopeful eyes and ask, can we go this year? And he would say, not this year, but the next. After a few years, I just gave up. As a child, I never understood the logistics of making enough money to buy the plane tickets for the whole family, paying for the hotels and the park itself while still having to pay bills at home. So I was really resentful. I always felt like he put his work before his family, but because he would work 14-hour days, 7 days a week, and I'd be lucky if I saw him a few times a week. Because he was usually gone for, usually gone at 4 in the morning before I woke up and would come home after I was asleep. I used to think that he didn't care for us, but once I got older, I understood it was because he cared for us and wanted to provide for us that he worked those crazy hours. It was because he wanted to put food on the table and make ends meet that I rarely saw him in my childhood. My resentment turned into admiration as I got older and got my own job. I'll admit that when I got my first job, I was whining and crying about working 16 hours a week and how tired I was, and then I'd look at my parents and feel driven to work harder. I was motivated and pushed by my parents to succeed at everything I did and to never give up so I would be able to get a good career to support my family. I got straight A's in school and graduated high school with high honors. I worked hard to prove to my parents I was going to succeed and it would be because of them. I am now in my second year at the University of Oregon, with my school and my tuition completely paid for by scholarships and my own hard work. I feel overwhelmed at times. There are days when I wake up and don't want to go to work or school, but then I think of everything my parents gave up for me and I keep going. My father has put all his time and energy into creating the Union Cab and this business endeavor. There were so many times the last few years my mother would beg him to stop wasting so much time on it because it was taking away from his work, which meant less money for us and more struggle to make ends meet. But my father was determined to make a difference. If this application for Union Cab is approved, I believe it will change the lives of 50 cab members and their families. It would mean all of my parents' sleepless nights and all of my father's hard work wouldn't have been for nothing. I'm missing 3 classes, work, and a midterm to be here right now because this is how much I believe in my father's work. If you knew me, you would understand how crazy that is because I'm a complete nerd.
Well, thank you. Your time is up, but we appreciate you being here. And you're going to the University of Oregon?
Yes, I'm a duck.
So does the
orange is very, very weird to me.
Is it burning weird. Your skin?
Huh?
Is the orange burning your skin?
Yes, it really is. Like, you know.
If you need me to write a letter to your professor asking him to take the, or him or her to let you take the midterm late, I can do that.
That's I talked to him about that, so I'm good.
Thanks for being here.
Need help.
Thank you.
Thanks for
being
here.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello. My name is Rahama Dimbore, and I'm unfortunately still in high school. So what is it that you think that the life of a cab driver is? Some of you may think that they wake up every morning, go to work, and come back in the evening after long hours of work. This is a dream. The reality is that cab drivers work long and tedious jobs, struggling to make ends meet. As a daughter of a cab driver, I see my father every morning working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Growing up, I lived in an environment in which my father was always absent. This was not because I had a family problem or didn't live with my father, but it was because he was always out working, struggling to make ends meet. Drivers, it is not fair that drivers must pay $580 a week for money money that they work themselves. It is not fair that drivers must continue to pay this $580 a week even after taking leave from work. It is not fair that these cab drivers do not receive any kind of health benefits. And I'm sure that you and I can both agree that this is not a job that anyone in this country deserves. So I am not here asking for your pity, but I am here asking for City Council to approve the application of the Union Cab. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. The next four
are Marco Mejia.
Remember, we're practicing thumbs up or thumbs down.
Marco Mejia, Nugesi Sado, Madeline Elder, and Red Diamond.
Hi, welcome. Glad you're here. Would you like to begin?
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Marco Mejia, and I'm with Jobs with Justice. And Jobs with Justice is a coalition of 92 member organizations in Portland. Many of them are unions, community organizations, faith communities, and other community organizations. And we all come here to express that we support the recommendation of the board to approve the permit for the cab driver. I think that we're based especially in two basic principles for us in our work, which first is the living wage. I think that having the cab union will bring up the wages, which right now it's about $6 per hour that cab drivers earn, and they work, as we hear already, in between 12 and 14 or more hours a day, which is not sustainable economically, is not sustainable humanly, to be able to be with their families and to have some vacation time as a human beings. The other principle is the right to organize. I think that when workers are in solidarity and work together, things are going to be much better for themselves. And it's going to change and create a precedent in the city of Portland where workers and the business of the cab business will put the priorities on workers. And that workers are able to make decisions about their conditions of work and the overall of their business that they are running. So it is very important to have that model of a co-op cab, the union cab business owned by their workers. The last thing I wanted to say is that it is important also to, and it was said already a little bit before in terms of equity in the city of Portland. And I think that this city is welcoming to immigrants, and this is one of those business where a lot of immigrants are participating and being working on is one of those hard work run business. So it is important that we also allow, you know, the communities that are more my broken English is going a little bad.
Your English is fantastic, but your time
is over. So the overall thing is that we supported in all the community that represent support the UNCAP. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Sir.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. I'm sure you're all familiar with the labor market study, and I'm sure you can imagine how optimistic cab drivers are when this study was released. But with the release of the taxi permit recommendations, cab drivers feel betrayed. The proposals don't merely fail in their efforts to improve conditions for Portland cab drivers. They represent a violent degradation of our already tenuous economic status. The fleet expansion you've proposed calls for an increase of 35% above the 382 currently permitted taxis in our city. How can you identify our economic hardships in January and then in September ask us to absorb a 35% loss of market share to new competition? Consider the economic indicators you've used to justify fleet expansion. It is well known in our industry that employment rates and passenger volumes at PDX are the two most reliable indicators of taxi service demand. Yet when data from the last available month, when data was available prior to the issue of this report was available, unemployment in the state of Oregon stood at 8.9%. And the Port of Portland website shows that total passenger volume in 2011 was actually lower than in 2001. That's an 11-year loss for us. And although we've seen a modest increase in 2012, it still amounts to a 2.3% increase over 12 years. Not nearly enough to justify a 35% increase in our fleet. And yet, the report states that all indicators have now moved beyond levels reached prior to the economic slowdown. This statement is false. As Portland's elected taxi driver representative, I speak on behalf of the overwhelming majority of the Portland's 900 or so working cab drivers when I tell you that Portland taxi drivers emphatically and absolutely reject these proposals. There is a far more eloquent way to improve taxi efficiencies, and these would include giving the permits directly to the drivers. In closing, I will call your attention to the petition signed by over 300 cab drivers that each city council member has now received, and I would direct you to the driver's attorney, Mr. Martin Dolan of Dolan Griggs, who will further represent our position. Our message is, please, no new taxis to any taxi company at this time. It will cause great harm to all Portland cab drivers. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony.
What's your name? Could you tell
me? Red Diamond.
Thank you.
Sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Nguse Sado, and I am one of the leaders in African refugees and immigrant community. According to the census of 2000, foreign-born population nationally grew 57%. At the same time, the foreign-born population in Oregon grew by 108%. According to the community-based survey, the current African refugees and immigrant in population in Portland metro area is about 32,000. Why do people come to this wonderful city and wonderful country? I'll give you my personal witness. I have lived in 4 different countries, visited 6 or 7 different countries around the world. But until now or up to date, I have never been able to find another wonderful country like the wonderful country that we live in that is based on the spirit of cooperation and tolerance. People come to this wonderful country and city because it is a land of opportunity. In America, we believe that the sky is the limit for those who think positive, take responsibility, and work very hard. People come here to work hard for opportunities of a better life. The United States is known as a country where one can begin with nothing and achieve their dream of financial independence. I want you all to know that when we talk about the wonderful America and who made America the great nation in the world, we are talking about the fair-minded leaders who are determined to provide equal opportunity to all citizens from the day of its inception to the day that we are here in front of our leaders. Today, I am here to thank you, our leaders, in behalf of my community. Thank you, Mayor Adam and the city councils, for your fair-minded leadership. The majority of taxi drivers from my community, as you see, are family men who are doing their very best to provide for their children and spouses.
And your time is up. I got you in between a breath there, so thank you very much for your testimony. You can submit your written testimony to our council clerk, Carla, and we'll make sure to read the rest of it. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, Mayor, City Commissioners. My name is Madeline Elder. I'm president of Communications Workers Local 7901 here in Portland. About 3 years ago, we were approached by the Portland Driver Self-Help Association to help organize a cooperative similar to Denver's Union Taxi Cooperative. Portland working drivers got together with Denver cabbies to discuss how we could achieve self-empowerment here in Portland. They spent a year amassing capital, building a business plan, and working closely with those in Denver who are successful. When they were ready, they applied for the cab company permit at the end of 2010. Drivers did this while working under the thumbs of the for-profit cab companies, working long hours, missing family time, doing the research, and in general, working their rear ends off. In the past 2 years, the drivers have reached out to over 2,000 riders, to community organizations from one end of Portland to the other, to their own extended families and communities, and to other drivers. CWA considers the Union Cab Cooperative part of the movement for economic sustainability, environmental sustainability, and self-empowerment. I urge you to approve the application for Union Cab Cooperative, and I thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Can I ask Mr. Diamond a question?
Yes, you can.
So the primary concern you have is with the increase of permits. You say you were heartened by the Revenue Bureau's recommendations around working conditions for drivers. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
Okay. Correct. We are primarily concerned with increasing the number of permits, mm-hmm. as any increase will cause established drivers to lose market share proportional to the number of permits that go out there.
And I know you've presented the proposal that would give the permits to the drivers.
Correct.
Let the drivers then freely affiliate. They would have to affiliate with a company.
Mm-hmm.
But then they could then pick and choose who has the most favorable working conditions or kitty or whatever. Was that proposal presented to the Private for Hire Board? I know you're a member
yes.
of that board, but was that formally presented and rejected?
Yes. It was presented to the Private for Hire Transportation Board. It was very popular with the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing the drivers want above anything else, it is permits.
Mm-hmm.
But giving permits to the drivers themselves is a different model from giving them to the companies. Right. Okay. When you give them to the companies are able to, in many cases, just simply turn around and lease them back out to the drivers at a profit. Giving them to the drivers would allow the drivers to, would force the companies to compete against one another in their efforts to bring drivers in, just as any company has to compete for its customers.
Are there any cities that have used this model?
Well, it's based in part upon the medallion system. Although without the shortcomings of the medallion system. Medallions get to be very expensive, and they become a problem because they become a commodity that is bought and sold. Mm-hmm. The proposal, which we call the ProDan Legacy Permit Proposal, eliminated that complexity and allowed the city to retain legal ownership of the permits and just allow the drivers to control them. It's basically the same system that exists today where the companies control the permits, only this system would just allow the drivers to control them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. The next four.
Are Arnold Arut Yunov, I believe, is the last name, Martin Dolan, Steve Entler, and Darren Campbell. And they'll be followed by David G. Gwyther, Michael Huggins, Butch Miller, and Ollie Robertson.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Arnold Arutyunov, and I've been working since 1998 with Portland CAP, Rose City CAP, Broadway CAP. What can I tell within 2 minutes? Good Lord. I guess I've heard many smart statements based on the paper, studies, and everything else. I've heard some beautiful voices of sweet girls. Myself, I have a daughter, 15-year-old, and I just don't understand the logics why some kids should be benefited and the others should be hurt. I don't get it. We've been told that it's going to take care of us to ease our hours. I don't see how 132 more cabs are going to ease my hours to make it. I don't understand how some people who are trying to start a new cab company work very long hours for a very low pay, save up the money to start a new company. I don't get these logics because I know how it is out there. I've been driving for over 15 years. I don't understand how they're going to run their good company. And in the past, the city officials, Revenue Bureau leader said that if we're going to issue permits, we're going to issue to the good companies. And two companies I know that are good, they're getting their job jobs done. It's Radio CAP and Broadway CAP. How come a known CAP company ran by 50 drivers who don't know how to run CAP company will basically make it? And I know a lot of those people personally, and I know that most of the time I see them, sometimes I stop by the plaza to get a cup of coffee at the very busiest time when there's plenty of work going on. Some of those guys, the union guys, union cap guys, they're sitting for an hour, hour and a half, drinking coffee, not working. It raises a lot of questions for me. How it's going to help me and my daughter? Thank you very much.
You have a lot of hands and thumbs behind you. But no noise. Remember, we're here to hear all points of view.
Well, maybe you should look up there.
All right.
Hey.
No noise. No. Hey, no clapping. Oh, we'll have you exited from the room. Sir, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Martin Dolan, D-O-L-A-N, and I'm from the law firm Dolan Griggs. I represent individual cab drivers who've pooled their funds to pay my exorbitant fees to come and address some issues with you. All those issues are in a document that's been submitted by email to all the commissioners and the mayor yesterday, as well as the city attorney. To any extent the rules require me to offer them to evidence, I would do that now. The argument basically is we're asking to slow this process down. And it's not just a favor we're asking for. We're asking that because, as we laid out in the letter, basic due process has been violated in this proceeding because the issue did not comport with your own code. So if you look at your code section 1641.60 and 1642.10, it requires that the staff recommendations be considered at a regularly scheduled meeting. They were not. They were considered at a special meeting. You're supposed to give the 10 days prior to the regular scheduled meeting, you're supposed to give notice to everybody. Notice was not given. This is a due process issue. There are serious property interests at stake here. There is no one who has even suggested that you have followed the rules. You have the board, and the board hasn't followed the rules, and the Bureau hasn't followed the rules. You're supposed to do that. As the mayor has said, there's rules we've got to follow in this proceeding, and there's rules you have to follow in this process. What's the harm? We lay that out in our letter. The harm was that the taxi drivers were not given sufficient time to prepare response, to respond to the recommendations. You're supposed to do that. That's what's supposed to be done. It wasn't done. So to the extent that the rules have been violated and they deprive the taxi drivers of due process, we ask you to stop this process at this point. Allow the process to take its course. Give the proper notice before a regularly scheduled meeting. And let's do it the right way instead of the wrong way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, I just need to ask a question if I could. So, sir, your primary argument is that there's a procedural flaw in how this was considered.
Correct. But
assuming there wasn't a procedural flaw, what is the substantive argument that you want us to consider?
And that is detailed here extensively in my letter. But I will tell
if you could summarize, because this is a public forum, and not everyone's going to have a chance to read your letter, just give us the essence of your substantive argument.
I would be glad to. By failing to give the requisite notice and failing to allow the drivers and others to present material, there is a direct impact on their daily income. And what we know is that, why do we know it's true? It's because the study concluded that. The study said there's going to be a short-term negative impact on the drivers, but they don't say what that is. Someone needs to say, here's what that impact is. Here's the data of how our hourly wage is going to be impacted, how many hours we're going to have to do. That's not our argument. It's what they say. So it's to give the data, number one, for the economic impact. That's one thing that needs to be done. We also say that one of the requirements for allowing a new company to come into effect is that a study is done about the relationship to the transportation system. And that's a requirement in the rules. It should also be done when you're issuing when you're giving these new permits to do a study of how our transportation system itself is affected. Portland's not like every other city. There is some major differences, and those differences, if you'll note, were laid out in the Port of Portland's letter to you. It said we're not very fond of having any more taxis at all at the airport, and we're not like other cities. And they said, look at your own transportation goals and facilities and resources, and then when you do that, then come up with recommendations. That's another one of our arguments. Another argument that we say is that there should be some environmental impact issues addressed here. New York City, if you want to compare it to other cities, requires an environmental impact statement to be given whenever the city council issues new permits. That hasn't even been discussed here. Is it a requirement? No. But is it something that Portland should do because we're Portland and because we're interested in those issues? Yeah. You're going to have 50 cabs running 14 hours a day sitting in front of hotels and at the airport. The airport, the Port of Portland said they don't even want the cabs out there. What's the impact? Some? None? We don't know. But that's the problem, is that there hasn't been sufficient time to develop a record, and a record is required under the rules.
One other question, Mr. Dolan.
Yes.
Because one of our jobs here is to listen to the substance of the arguments people are making, but another one of our roles is to be like a referee. We need to make sure the process has been fair. Did you have an opportunity to appear at the special meeting that was held?
I did not. I was not retained at that time.
You were not retained. Did your client have an opportunity to appear?
He was. Mr. Diamond was there, yes. And
that client, was your client allowed to present at that hearing?
He was, but we've attached an affidavit of Mr. Diamond. He was there. He was given the opportunity. They got the report did come out prior to the special meeting. But what Mr. Diamond says, and so importantly, and that's how I would just urge you to read. It's fairly lengthy affidavit, but he says here is why I couldn't present anything of substance because he had to meet with his drivers. He's got 300. Drivers, men and women, that meet with him. What he couldn't do, because the regular scheduled meetings are 2 months apart, right? So what they did was at the September 26th meeting, they came out with the recommendations. Then they considered it at the October 10th meeting. So you say, well, did he have a chance to appear? Yes. But did he have a chance to meaningfully participate? No. Because, as he said, my drivers and I are set up to meet every 2 months. We have to get a room to get everybody together to meet. I have to have the chance to get the word out. It's not an easy system to get 300 independent contractors involved. And so he said, I showed up, but there was no way, since you told me it was going to be at a regular scheduled meeting, and it wasn't, there's no way for me to meaningfully participate. And that's what due process is. It requires meaningful participation, not just participation.
Okay, thank you, sir.
So, Mr. Dolan, I just have one question. You mentioned there's been no study about how these recommendations affect hourly wages. So I want to make sure I understand the industry right. So there is no hourly wage per se paid by the company.
The wage is the wrong word.
Gross revenue.
Hourly income. I shouldn't have said wages. It's just hourly income. They divide it up. And in the study itself, it shows what the hourly amount is, but it's not a wage because it's not paid as an employer.
Just want to make sure I'm tracking everything.
Right. Thank you. I guess the only thing I would ask is.
No, you're done. Thanks.
Is it safe? Thank you.
I'll take that. You can stay there, though. You're not going anywhere.
Oh, just yet.
You'll learn our procedures. It's not too hard. Hi, sir. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Council members. My name is Steve Entler, and I'm the General Manager of Radio Cab. I'd like to start out by thanking the Revenue Bureau staff, and especially Kathleen Butler and Frank Buffet, for all the hard work that they have done in response to concerns from all the people involved with the private-for-hire transportation industry. Our city has never seen a more dedicated or hardworking bunch, and it has been an honor for me to work with all of these fine people and also to serve on the Private for Hire Board. Unlikely as this must sound, I would also like to thank Mayor Adams for initiating the investigation of the existing permitted taxi cab companies. At first, I think that all of the taxi company managers were reluctant to submit all of the financial and operating data that was requested by the city, including me. But then I realized that it could become a mechanism for me to point out the strengths of Radio Cab. So I submitted everything that was requested, interviewed with Bureau staff and also Mayor Adams. A lot of our drivers were investigated as well as drivers from the other companies. The final results of the investigation were printed in a report from Bureau staff titled Taxi Driver Labor Market Study, Long Hours, Low Wages. And sure enough, just as I suspected would happen, the report clearly separated the working conditions, work hours, wages, and general experiences of radio cab drivers from those of the drivers of all the other permitted taxi companies. The report showed that our drivers earn about twice as much as the drivers from other companies and work fewer hours as well. I couldn't have been happier.
So I am getting the evil eye from the attorney. Is this related to the new applications?
Well, no.
Okay. Well, it's been nice hearing from you, but I need you to, otherwise I get into trouble with state law. I need you to...
They didn't have a separate sign-up sheet outside. They lumped them all together.
No problem. So thank you, but I can't let you continue unless you would like something to say about the request for new permits from the new companies.
I choose not to. Is there going to be a separate
portion?
That'll be separate. And then can I be recalled on that?
Yes, absolutely. Hi, welcome.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, my name is Darren Campbell. I am a lobbyist for Radio Cab, but I am also an owner and serve on the board of directors for Radio Cab. You're going to hear a lot of opposition. You're going to hear a lot of support today, so I'm going to limit it, my testimony to my concerns of a new company without having some sort of plan written into it as to what happens to those permits if, for some reason, they fail. I'm not saying they are going to. There are fine people involved in that group. But if you look at Radio Cab, we have big contracts with the VA, with Kaiser Hospitals. Broadway has TriMet to fall on. We each have airport stickers to be able to pick up at the airport. The airport has said they're not going to issue any new stickers. This is a company that's starting from scratch and has got a big uphill battle. And I don't want to see a Denver Orange or another investor come in when they fall on hard times and buy those permits and then fall back into the same situation in what this has originated from already. I'd like to see something written into the application that would prevent that from happening. Whether those, if they can't make ends meet, that those permits go back to the city for reallocation or not. But I don't want to see another, conglomeratedly owned cab company. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that when this application came forth, it was from existing cab companies or cab drivers in the Portland area. And I want to make sure that when this process takes place and you accept a new company, that they are, in fact, currently permitted cab drivers in Portland, and it's not six of them and then 30 from across the country coming into Portland. We have plenty of drivers here. And I'd like to make sure that happens. So with that being said, I appreciate your time.
Thanks for your testimony.
Can I ask Mr. Hintler a question? And maybe this isn't the right time either, but in your October 31st letter to us, I guess you expressed great concern about my letter of October 9th to the Private for Hire Transportation Board, expressing my concerns about the saturation impact of upwards of 167 new taxi permits. I didn't really mention where I stood on a new company, per se, but I guess, just for the record, I wasn't intending to express any other concern than my concern about the saturation and the subsequent impact that has on drivers' wages. It wasn't by any means meant to take a position on the union cab company or not, or the other two companies that applied.
There was one particular sentence in the letter that indicated that you had already taken a position prior to this. And that was the main thing.
I think, my sentence was, if we're going to do a new cab company, that we should hold off on other permits for additional companies because of my concern about saturation. So just to clarify that.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your testimony.
The next four are...
Oh, sorry. Do we have anyone with children that would like to testify as a courtesy? I mean young children, not adult children. No? All right.
The next four are David G. Gwyther, Michael Huggins, Butch Miller, and Ollie Robertson. And they'll be followed by Lativa Nicholas, Owen Blank, Arthur J. Bantu Palmer, and Lewis Stark.
Would you like to begin, sir?
Yes, my name is David G. Gwyther. First, I'd like to commend Amanda Fritz for a great campaign. Congratulations. Anyway, I'm testifying. I have been a lobbyist in the past for Radio Cab. I'm testifying on my own today, trying to step back and look at the cab business from an economic standpoint. In the theory of unions, the idea is to upgrade the workers by limiting the supply and increasing the skill level so that the increased productivity flows back to the workers. What we have here in Portland is a collection of small businessmen. Almost all cab drivers in Portland are licensed as a business. We're all small business people. We compete against each other both internally within the companies and externally, especially with other companies. So looking at that dynamic, the word wage or salary or benefits doesn't really apply. We have to pay that out of the net profit that's derived each day, each month, et cetera. Now, the kitties that people pay to the various companies are a function of several costs. First of all, the cost of insurance. That is probably the biggest single barrier to starting a cab company. $1 million of liability insurance, my understanding is $200,000 a year, is sort of where you start at if you're lucky. If you have an existing company, and it's probably higher in other fields. So the kitties in judging whether or not a individual driver or not will be successful are only a small variable. The biggest variable is the number of fares and the quality of the fares, whether you get tips, whether you can efficiently pick up these fares and then pick up a second fare in a row, et cetera. The idea of working 40 hours a week in the cab business, I've only seen happen once in 30 years, and that was in Los Angeles when 70% of the cabs disappeared, and there was literally people waving money at us down there.
So your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, council members, good afternoon. My name is Michael Huggins. I'm a member of the Private for Hire Transportation Board and the manager of Landside Operations at Portland International Airport. At PDX, I oversee the taxi, shuttle, and car transportation or town car transportation access program, among other operations. Fundamentally, I believe the proposed increase in new taxi permits will not achieve the City of Portland's statement or stated objectives of improving driver conditions, including living wage, health and wellness benefits, and working conditions. The recommendation to add additional taxis will not address these issues, but rather will add more competition to the marketplace. Concerns exist with the addition of permits to meet the city's needs. Where will these taxis stage? Taxi stands are already beyond capacity. Will taxis circle the streets looking for available taxi stand space, park illegally, or leave the city? There have been no side-by-side evaluation of the data provided to the Portland For Hire Board of Members by the Revenue Bureau. This information provided by each company in their respective applications varies greatly. There was no clear expectations presented to the companies on what documents were required to be provided. In February 2010, the airport did an extensive review of airport taxi activity, conditions in the backfield, and airport service levels. As a result, the moratorium on the number of taxis at the airport was not lifted. Additionally, the airport instituted an alternate day permit process whereby only one half of the already permitted taxis operate at the airport on any one day. This change in operations added an additional 128 taxis to the downtown market per day. These additional taxis were not accounted for in the recommendation. During the demand peaks, all airport permitted vehicles are called in to assist passengers. This system works very well to meet our customers' demand. The Bureau asserts that the ratio of taxis to citizens is far beyond or far below other cities. Portland is unique in its transportation needs and not similar to other cities of like size. Portland has an extensive public transportation system, including light rail service that spans the area and continues to grow each year. Light rail service to the airport departs and arrives every 15 minutes and serves more than 7% of the passengers, and that number continues to grow. Adding more taxis does not result...
Your time's up.
Mayor, I have a question, but if I could.
I have one before you.
Yep.
So is this the position of the Port of Portland Board?
It's the position of Landside Operations. We have currently a permitted process in place.
Is what you're reading, you just represented yourself as being from the port. So is this a position of the Port of Portland Board?
It's a position of the Port of Portland Operations Department within the Port of Portland, and it has been reviewed by our public affairs as well as our attorney's office.
So not the board?
Correct.
All right. And are you familiar, does light rail go to the airport in Vancouver, British Columbia?
I'm not sure.
It does. Okay. The other, you mentioned that our transit system was very unique compared to some of these other cities. How much knowledge do you have of the transit systems and airports in the other cities?
I have pretty extensive knowledge of other airport ground transportation systems as well.
Okay, so Seattle?
Seattle has a light rail system that opened just a couple years ago. It serves the airport on the other side of the short-term
Minneapolis?
Garage. Minneapolis-St. Paul does have a light rail system to the airport as well.
Okay, so those are similar to the Port of Portland's airport.
Thank you. There's other things that weren't considered as well as the
thank
proximity.
Thank you, that's all.
Here, I have a question if I could.
Yep.
I just want a clarification on something in your letter, because you say that you've instituted an alternate day permit process where only a certain number of taxis are permitted to operate at the airport any given day. So how does that work practically? If I take a taxi from downtown to the airport, under this permit process, does that mean that depending on the day, that cab driver may or may not be able to get a return fare?
That's correct. We have 256 permitted taxis at the airport. We alternate the days so that 128 are permitted by color one day, and the same 100 or the other 128 operate on the other day.
I understand, but this may not be the right place to take this up, but the idea that we are telling a taxi cab, particularly in a city where we're trying to reduce our carbon emissions, that they can take someone to the airport and drop off, but they're not permitted to take a fare back, seems inconsistent with a number of other policies that we put in place. So And again, that's not what's specifically before us, but it is in your letter. And I think the council is going to be interested in, possibly the regulatory body is going to be interested in following up on that, because what it sounds to me like what we're saying is, through the luck of the draw, you could take a fare to the airport but not be allowed to bring someone back. So you've got to then take a trip back to the city to pick up a fare, which is going to reduce someone's income and also unnecessarily add to trips without passengers, which I'm not sure is something we want to be encouraging. But thank you for the clarification.
I would like to know what the position of the board is. Thank you. Hi.
Mr. Mayor, good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for your time. My name is Butch Miller. I am a taxi driver for Broadway Cab. I am a former member of the Private for Hire Transportation Board. In 1998, the city issued more permits. After these permits were issued, taxi drivers started having to work longer hours for lower wages. It culminated with an accident out of the airport with a driver driving more than 18 hours with a death of a passenger. In 2009, the Soren Garber demand study said the private hire transportation providers were saturated, primarily because that report said there should be one town car per 16 cabs. The city has one town car per 2.1 cab. So not most of those town cars work out of downtown. Also, the staff report is nothing more than a field of dreams theory. They are saying that more cabs will create more business. That's wrong. The market size is only so large. The more cabs does not increase the market. It just decreases the individual share. So adding more cabs at this time, especially when economists are predicting a double-dip recession in this coming year, would be, I don't think, a good move at this time. And I would urge you not to issue any more permits at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next, we have more.
Lativa Nicholas, Owen Blank, Arthur J. Bantu Balmer, and Lewis Stark. And the last three who signed up are Frank Choto, Jan Campbell, and Brenda Hyatt.
Hi, welcome. Mr. Blank, would you like to begin?
Thank you. My name is Owen Blank. I'm an attorney. I represent the New Rose City Cab Company. We are here today to provide information relevant to your decision. We are not here today to take a position for or against the new cab company or a position regarding the number of permits, but we're here primarily because I think Commissioner Saltzman correctly noted in a letter to the Private for Hire Taxi Board that there is a relationship between the pending applications for increased permits by the existing companies and the council's action on a new company. And so that board deferred our application for additional permits pending some guidance from the city council. Our company was formed over 40 years ago, primarily because Mr. Arthur Palmer was a good two-fisted entrepreneur, and also out of the discrimination that existed in the city at the time because people of color and people in particular neighborhoods lacked the ability to get cab service. As Ms. Nicholas, who is the third generation of the family to be involved in the business, will let you know, we have unmet demands and increasing costs. And so we need to have additional permits to survive and thrive in this city. And in order for us to have additional permits, since you are engaged in the very difficult task of
I need you to stick to new permits for these companies,
right?
Not about your request for additional permits.
No, but the reason our request was deferred was because of the pending applications. So
I need
the relevance
you to
is this.
The city attorney gave me the nod. Okay. You need to talk about these.
Right. You're engaged in microeconomic regulation, an extraordinarily difficult task for the government. And the number of permits outstanding altogether, including for a new company, impacts your regulatory duties when you make decisions like the ones that are pending before you for this agenda item. So I will now ask Ms. Nicholas to let you know about the demands in the that the cab companies face.
Hi, my name is Lativa Nicholas. I'm the granddaughter and executive assistant of Arthur Palmer for New Rose City Cab Company. Our cab company has counted from the years of 2011 and 2012. Our dispatchers have counted 63 applications for taxi and dispatch operators. They also count a total range from 52 to 127 calls a week within the past 8 months that could not be serviced to. We feel the city is issuing any more permits than New Rose City is entitled to some of them. We feel that creating a new company will not really help fix the current issues in the system, only create more competition and longer overall wages. We ask that you help fix a part of the industry that is working before starting and before starting an untested new business theory in Portland. And I'm finished. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you very much. Sir, would you like to testify?
For me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm Arthur Bantu Palmer. I think I met you sometime before.
Yes, you have.
Well, I'm a citizen by birth, not by choice. I have no objection, like you said, to my Ethiopian Bantu brothers making a living driving a cab. I would be understood. I'm not objecting to them working and having a job. I have received only 19 permits in 35 years. The companies who had permits when I started received over 100. I wonder why. I just wonder why. I read somewhere, in the city, I believe, of Philadelphia, there was a bell. Supposed to have been a Liberty Bell. And the ring, it cracked. I wonder why it cracked. Was it because it was misnamed Liberty Bell? And from Liberty Bell, we get equality and justice under our constitution this country has. Therefore, it may be that, yeah, therefore, it may be that reason to crack. I don't feel like I've got justice. And denying me continuously justice by not giving me what I think I've earned for 35 years makes defeat and lang on, like the sound of the bell. When will the tone, remember the feeling, cease? You can help it by granting New Rose City Cab some new permits. Thank you.
Sir.
Yes, I'm Lewis Stark. I'm an independent contractor with Broadway Cab. And I look around here, I see all these orange shirts. It's very impressive. These are fine, experienced, dedicated workers. They work long hours, 60 to 80 hours a week. I'm against them getting new permits, and here's why. They're all working now for an existing company. Every one of them will be replaced. When they go to work as a new cab driver with a new company, they'll be starting totally from scratch. If they tried to do the same thing they're doing now, they will have 50 more competitors on the street. Now, if they can't survive earning an income at 68 hours a week under current conditions, how are they going to do it with one-third greater competition? The airport tells us we do not need more cabs at the airport. Another thing that's changed, you talked about this 10 to 12 year period. What was it like 10 to 12 years ago? How many town cars existed then? Virtually none. Did we have an airport line rail at that time? No. There's a phenomenon in downtown Portland. You see business travelers toting their luggage down the city blocks to take a $2.50 trip that they pay, and at $15 that our employers pay so they can go through that employee tax. We're supplementing outside businesses with our light rail. Those trips used to be taxi cabs. Those trips used to be shuttle trips. Now we lost them. We also have increased the number of medical transportation, which we call SATs. There's dozens of them fulfilling parts of our business. All these things are taking a piece of the pie. The pie is not growing that fast. You've increased the consumers. You're not increasing the food.
Do you know off the top of your heads what the increase in the availability of town car trips have been since 1998?
No, I don't know that, sir. It's not my profession. My profession is out there trying to earn a buck.
Money. Who's next?
Are Frank Chodo, Jan Campbell, and Brenda Hyatt.
Nicer cars. More available
cars. Thank you so much.
We got a
I'm good, thanks.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine.
Thank you for your perseverance. Please begin.
That's okay. Mayor Adams and commissioners, I would love to tell you that I'm
just
on
need your name.
Oh, my name is Brenda Hyatt. I am a Broadway cab driver. I have attended the majority of these meetings, and I have some recommendations. I am not for or necessarily against these permits because I feel there is really good arguments on both sides. What I am asking this commission to do is to please put in place the recommendations of the board if you are going to issue these permits.
So I need you to stick with just the application.
Okay. In order for these permits to enable it so the drivers do not lose their market share, we need things put in place, and it is a recommendation of the board for these things to be put in place. I have outlined it in a written document, so I won't go through it all here or even try to do it in 2 minutes. The one thing that I would ask is that you set a timeline on the implementation of these standards that the board is talking about. The Private for Hire Transportation Committee is notorious for not being quick about anything. They told us we were going to have these reports back in May. And we finally got them the end of September or October to be commented on shortly thereafter. So I am asking you, Mayor, to please set a timeline, hopefully by the end of your term, and if not, at least within the next 90 days that these standards are enacted. Because I do believe the permits could be successful at, without affecting the market share, providing there is accountability on the parts of the people that are holding those permits. Without that accountability, we're all in trouble. One of those, again, is one of my recommendations is the elimination of the taxi companies to be able to run SAT vehicles. I don't believe the taxi companies should be in the business of competing with their own drivers. And that's exactly what SAT vehicles are, is they're an internal competition with their own drivers. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, sir.
Hello. My name is Frank Chotto. I own a town car company called A Alliance Town Car. And I've been around for a while, over a quarter century now. So I've experience. I rise in support of Union Cab's application to operate in the city of Portland. It will alleviate a suffering that those individuals are going through. They live in a gulag. They work in a gulag that houses these yellow cars. And where they go to work, when they come, their income is taken away from them. And so they cannot determine their destiny. It is a road I have walked painfully for a long time, and that's why I own my own business, and I am willing to go through that struggle. I would encourage the city to expeditiously approve their permits. I would also encourage the council, to the extent that you can, to intervene on their behalf at the airport so that they are not denied operating privileges there, as is currently being planned, if recent testimony is anything to go by. I would also encourage you, in Portland's spirit, and I've been around a while, Connie was in the chair when I got here, McCready. to be innovative, as we always have been, I think 50 is a small number. If I had my say, I'd say give them 150 permits. It is not revolutionary, That's where Broadway was. It was driver-owned before it was taken away by the moneymakers. So be bold about this, and I encourage the mayor to please stay in public service. Once you leave the seat here, don't be going around hiding in suburbia. We need you. And I noticed that you don't get fooled easily. You don't get fooled easily. I saw these well-dressed guys coming here giving you stories. And you asked them the questions that you needed to ask them.
Thank you,
sir. This is a smart city.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Campbell, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. And Commissioner Fritz, I want to really say how happy I am of your victory. And you've done so much for people with disabilities in our city, and we hopefully will continue to work with you. So thank you again. I do want to talk about the accessible cabs. Actually, some of you probably remember John Hamilton and I, when I worked for the city, got the first ordinance passed here to have a certain percentage of cabs accessible to people in the city. And, yes?
I need you to... Are you talking about these applicants?
Yes, and I'm just talking about the more cabs that we can get in the city will also help to have the access for people with disabilities. Some of the things, though, that I do have a little concern about is it is still very, very difficult, and this is, again, why we need to have more accessible cabs. For people who are private pay, it is very difficult to get accessible cabs because, as you have already heard, they are contracted out. And so since they're contracted out, they're not on the streets, and so people who private pay cannot get them usually during the peak hours or even in the evenings and sometimes even on the weekends. So it's very, very difficult. And we also talk, when you talk about accessible cabs, the design, these new credit machines now are making it harder for people to use the cabs, even though they say they're accessible, because you can't get your chair and maneuver it around. Also,
I'm sorry, Jan. What was that part you said?
To maneuver around because the credit card machine comes into the space, so you can't maneuver. Rates are very different for people with disabilities, depending how the driver wants to secure your chair. So the longer it takes a driver to secure a chair, the more the person pays. And so that has also been an issue. So again, I really support it, but I think that we need to really put some standards on the accessible cab so that it really is equal to people who need to use them can use them.
Great. Thank you all very much. Okay, so testimony is now closed. We're going to take a 10-minute break. It is now 4 o'clock. We'll come back at 4:10. Could I have staff and council come up here?
I often get a cab, which